It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Someone who doesn't know me would think I was exaggerating, but I've seen cases where grandma will let grandson serve as her power of attorney. Grandson literally steals her assets, sells her house out from underneath her, cleans out her bank account. And when things like that happen, it's not a matter of just, oh, calling the police, get my stuff back. You need somebody who's gonna, for example, I actually saw on the listserv one of the legal aid cases where someone was able to get the deed back to a person's house. The house really had been stolen from them.
Janet James, State Legal Services Director for the Department for the Aging, talks about Project 2025 and what's being done to prepare Virginia to meet the legal needs of our senior citizens in the next 16 years. And the complexities of bank account garnishment will be simplified in our question and answer session. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 30, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. Ain't gonna let this termination turn me around, turn me around. And now, this week's news you can use. Social Security and Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, benefits for more than 57 million Americans increased this month by 5.8%, the largest increase since 1982. Social Security and SSI benefits increase automatically each year, based on the rise in the Bureau of Labor Statistics Consumer Price Index. The average monthly Social Security benefit increased from $1,090 to $1,153. SSI for an individual increased from $637 to $674. And SSI for a couple increased from $956 to $1,011. The SSI resource limit remains at $2,000 for an individual and $3,000 for a couple, unchanged since 1989. Unlike monthly benefits, the resource limit does not increase along with the cost of living. So, even though monthly benefits have increased almost 83% over the past 20 years, the SSI resource limit remains frozen in time. In other news, the amount workers must earn during a six-month base period to be eligible for unemployment compensation increased this month from $2,700 to $3,000. A standard base period is the first four of the last five completed calendar quarters before a claim is filed, while an alternative base period is simply the last four completed calendar quarters before a claim is filed. Virginia has one of the highest base period earnings requirements in the country, and, not surprisingly, one of the lowest percentages of jobless workers who receive unemployment compensation. According to the most recent statistics for 2008, only 26% of jobless workers in Virginia received unemployment compensation, far below the national average of 37% and seventh lowest in the nation. Due to continued high demand for services, the Virginia Employment Commission's Customer Contact Center now is open Saturdays from 11:15 a.m. to 12 noon, toll-free at 1-866-832-2363. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is power of attorney. A power of attorney is a legal document you sign to appoint someone as your agent to handle your business. You must be of sound mind to sign a power of attorney. Your agent is called an attorney-in-fact or power of attorney. When your attorney-in-fact signs anything as your power of attorney, it's the same as if you had signed it. Your attorney-in-fact is not personally responsible for anything he or she signs as your power of attorney. You are. Although your attorney-in-fact has a duty to handle your business properly, he or she has a great deal of freedom to act on your behalf. If a person isn't of sound mind, he or she can't sign a valid power of attorney, and a guardianship may be needed. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's legal term of the week.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for the weekly question and answer session. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Tell us your first name and where you're from.
My name is Laura, and I'm from Richmond.
Thank you, Laura, for being on the show. Tell us, what's your question?
My question is it legal for credit card companies to freeze my bank account when I'm not even making enough to get by on?
Well, first, Laura, they have to have a judgment against you. They have to have filed a lawsuit in usually the general district court. You have to have been properly served. They have to go to court. They have to get the judgment. They have to wait a reasonable period of time. Once they've done that, however, they can use any legal means to collect the judgment. And creditors usually have four means. Two are quick and easy and very common. Two are long and hard and pretty rare. The two that are quick and easy and common are to garnish your wages or to garnish your bank account. Now, if they garnish your wages directly from your employer has a duty to look at your pay stub and see if you're making enough money to be garnished in the first place. Because the first $262 per week in earnings after required withholdings are taken, and that would be state and federal taxes, Social Security, and Medicare, the first $262 per week after those funds have been taken is protected from garnishment. And so if you're under that amount, your employer is not going to garnish anything. However, if the wages are in a bank account, whether it's directly deposited or whether you take a paper check and deposit it, the bank has no duty whatsoever to look at the deposits and determine where they're from and whether they might or might not be exempt. That duty falls on you. And the problem with bank account garnishments is they are for really short periods of time, usually a month or two or 3 months, instead of wage garnishments, which can go really as long as 6 months. So if you get a bank account garnishment and you think that they're garnishing money that can't be garnished, you need to take legal action right away. Now, when you get a bank account garnishment, or any type of garnishment, but particularly a bank account garnishment, you're going to get some court papers that will try to explain to you what it is you need to do. Did you get those court papers when your bank account was garnished?
Yes, I did.
And were they easy to understand and complete, or did you find you needed legal help?
I couldn't understand a single sentence.
That's one of the reasons why people need lawyers. Thank you very much for being on the show with us, Laura. We're back with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and we're here at the Virginia Department for the Aging. We're speaking with Janet James, who is the State Legal Services Developer and Guardianship Coordinator, and we will be speaking this afternoon about Project 2025. Welcome to the show, Janet.
Thank you very much, Marty. Thanks for having me.
Sure, you're most welcome. Tell us, what is Project 2025?
By the year 2025, there are going to be an estimated 1 million more senior citizens, and this is our state's initiative to get ready for this population that's coming by the year 2025, only 17 years from now.
And what do seniors need between now and the year 2025?
Well, that's the interesting thing, Marty, because we are making great strides in terms of long-term care, health insurance, and making sure we have enough meals and all the rest of that. But legal assistance is important, and I think sometimes it kind of goes by the wayside, but it's just as important as the other preparations we're making.
So what type of legal preparations or legal documents do seniors need, and how are they going to get those?
Well, that can vary. A lot of documents like wills and medical directives, all those are important. But there are other things like nursing home discharge cases, or where a senior has lost their home through the abuse of a power of attorney. Things like that where you have to have a lawyer, or these people are going to be on the street or worse. They're going to die.
So I gather one of the things that Project 2025 is doing is trying to recruit, what, volunteer attorneys to assist elders with these types of legal needs?
That is one part of it. A big part of it is through the 25 area agencies on aging in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We're trying to build the collaborative efforts between these existing agencies or entry points, if you want to call them, for seniors, and the legal aid programs.
When those entries are made, how are the seniors going to find the assistance? Are they going to go through legal aid? Are they going to go through the area agencies on aging? Are they going to go through the Virginia Department on Aging? What's the mechanism here?
All of the above. One of the things is we have a list of 25 stakeholders. If you take a look at our website, www.project2025virginia.org, you will see a list of 25 stakeholders. Seniors won't always know that they have a legal problem, quote unquote, but they may go to the Alzheimer's Association. They may go to AARP. They may go to the Area Agency on Aging for meals and then find out that, oh my goodness, this is also a way where I can get help with this eviction notice that just came out of nowhere. So it's really pulling Virginia together in the area of legal assistance for seniors. Because I tell you, Marty, I call them do-gooders. There are do-gooders all over the state, and you're one of them. You know, you work for legal aid, and so you know what I'm talking about. But it really is going to take all of us working together, because some seniors won't get to a legal aid, but they may get to a service provider. They may get to an area agency on aging. They may go visit AARP in Virginia. So we are really looking at bringing together the service providers in this common goal of helping seniors who have a legal issue.
Okay, and do you have a checklist of documents that seniors ought to have that you would especially encourage them to contact an attorney about? In other words, to be proactive about their legal needs rather than reactive?
You know what? Actually, that's a very good, we don't have anything, but I'm going to make a mental note because that's really an excellent comment and suggestion. I know from personal experience, when my mom, before she passed, she had a will, you know, people know have a will, but she didn't have a power of attorney. And with five kids, there can be an amazing difference of opinion in terms of what needs to be done when certain situations happen. So that's one of the things, the will, the power of attorney, durable power of attorney, of course, and then the advanced medical directive. Those are three things that can be very low cost or no cost, and every senior, I believe, would benefit.
Go through those one at a time. Why is it important for a senior, or for that matter, for anyone, to have a will?
Well, as you know, we're in Virginia, and if you pass without a will, then it's intestate succession, and the state kind of decides who's going to get what. But more importantly, I think it's peace of mind. It's peace of mind for the senior in terms of being prepared. This is what I would want to happen to my belongings, etc., versus just kind of shying away from it, and then the state decides what happens. At least that was one of the things that convinced my mom to make sure that she had a will.
Now, you also mentioned a power of attorney. Now, a lot of people are confused by what is a power of attorney and how you get one or how you give one. Could you clarify this for our listeners?
A power of attorney is actually an excellent alternative to, say, guardianship down the road if you don't do anything. It allows you as the principal, that's what it's called under the law, to appoint another person who would be an agent under the law to act on your behalf. And this could be things like not just paying your bills, it could be buying and selling property. It's basically what you would be able to do, you're entrusting to someone else to do on your behalf. It's a two-edged sword, though. It can be a very excellent document, but there's also potential for abuse, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that
later. Well, in fact, that was my next question. Have you seen in your career, I know you were at Legal Aid for a time, and you're now here at the Department of the Aging, have you seen people abusing powers of attorney? And when that happens, what do you do? What's your remedy?
In answer to the first part of that question, yes. And I'm very sad to say that over the past 2 years, I've seen an alarming increase in abuse of power of attorneys. Well, you know that I'm not going to lie to you, but someone who doesn't know me would think I was exaggerating. But I've seen cases where grandma will let grandson serve as her power of attorney. Grandson literally steals her assets, sells her house out from underneath her, cleans out her bank account. And when things like that happen, it's not a matter of just, oh, calling the police, get my stuff back. You need somebody who's going to, for example, I actually saw on the listserv one of the legal aid cases where someone was able to get the deed back to a person's house. The house really had been stolen from them. So there's been the increase has been so broad, Marty. What we've done here at Virginia Department for the Aging, we used to have a sample power of attorney document on our website, and we took that off. And instead, what we did with the help of Virginia Poverty Law Center, if you go to www.vda.virginia.gov and go under topics, you will see information on power of attorney, where it says what the good sides, what it can do, but it also gives the downside of a power of attorney. And I get a little carried away. So did I answer your question? Or
very well. And I gather the short answer would be proceed with a great deal of caution.
Yes, yes.
Okay, now you mentioned a couple of other things that seniors ought to have, advanced directives. Can you describe the two different types of advanced directives, the living will and also the medical power of attorney?
Yes, the power of attorney or the medical power of attorney is similar to the power of attorney I've just described, where you're appointing, you as the principal, you're appointing an agent, but it's going to be specifically for medical decisions. So, for example, let's say I want to make my daughter my medical power of attorney, and I've talked to her and, you know, hey, if I'm, you know, unconscious or, you know, whatever, I don't want to get a blood transfusion or whatever, but it could be something that specific, maybe for religious reasons. I don't allow X, Y, and Z. So she's someone who could speak on my behalf if I was not able to speak. A living will is a little bit different. That's when you have if circumstances arise and someone had a terminal condition, there are things that they may or may not want in a particular circumstance. For example, I'm sure a lot of the listeners will be familiar with the Terry Schiavo case from, what was that, 3 years ago or so?
In Florida, right, I remember that.
Where someone was on life support and there was a difference of opinion in terms of whether that person should remain on life support or whether they would have wanted someone to disconnect them from life support. Well, if that person had had a living will, it would have been a lot clearer, and I think it would have saved the family members a lot of grief and turmoil to know, okay, I may not like this decision, but I'm looking at, you know, this is really what mom wanted or what have you.
So you'd recommend all of those documents for any elder or even anyone who's not elderly, because we're all heading that direction.
Right, exactly. All three. The will, the durable power of attorney, and then the advanced medical directive, which is going to include the medical power of attorney and the living will.
Now, how would any of our listeners find out more about Project 2025?
They would go to our website, which is www.project2025virginia.org. And it gives a lot more detail. But can I just take 30 seconds?
Oh, absolutely.
In 2006, and it really started before that, let's go back to 2005. There is a group called the Virginia Elder Rights Coalition, which is very concerned about seniors having access to legal assistance when they need it. And they were really the spearhead behind preparing for this grant opportunity through the Administration on Aging. And so when the grant opportunity came up, and they didn't know it was, but they prepared just in case. And so in 2006, there was an Administration on Aging grant that we applied for with Virginia Poverty Law Center as a partner. And we wanted to do some things in Virginia, not just in terms of preparing for the year 2025, but also bringing together what we have now in Virginia. In other words, we're going to have to link up arms because there's just not enough resources. Even if we were very organized, there's not enough resources to help the current seniors. So how in the world are we going to help more seniors when we're not able to help the ones we have now?
Well, and as you pointed out, the year 2025 is a mere 17 years away.
That's correct.
So that's going to be a very important thing to be working on. We're very grateful that you're working on this project. We have been talking with Janet James at the Virginia Department for the Aging. She is the State Legal Services Developer and Guardianship Coordinator. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You are most welcome. Thank you, Marty.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about advanced directives. The first tip is that Virginia has two different types of advanced directives. One is a living will.
sometimes called a natural death declaration. The other is a dual power of attorney for health care, sometimes called a medical power of attorney. The second tip is that a living will authorized the prolonging, withholding, or withdrawal of life prolonging procedures if you have a terminal condition. The third tip is that a medical power of attorney appoints an agent to make health care decisions for you if you have determined to be incapable of making an informed decision. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Night of the Living Debt may sound like a grade B Hollywood horror movie, but it's an increasingly real nightmare faced by millions of consumers. Join us next week when our guest, Henry Woodward, General Counsel for the Legal Aid Society of Roanoke Valley, tells strange but true tales about how dead debts come back from the grave to haunt the living. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbrand.